And joining me on the line now is Reva Foreman, who is chairman of the Temple Israel Heritage Center, Hillbrow. Reva, thanks so much for chatting with us again. Hillbrow isn't the easiest place to build community. What keeps you rooted there, and what does the neighborhood teach you?
That's 100% correct. But firstly, let me say thank you so much for having me on the show, and my love to all the listeners. To be at the dividing line, if you like, between us and Hillbrow, where Temple Israel is, it's amazing what one can learn from people who are basically living in very difficult circumstances. Of course, there's tremendous poverty, but more than even poverty, there's joblessness. And so the flats are overcrowded, et cetera, and to meet these people, they have the most amazing spirit of camaraderie with each other. They don't see a different race. If someone comes from Africa, they don't see a different ethnicity, and you wouldn't believe it. There are all colors, religion, backgrounds mixed up there, yet they only see the humanity in each other. And I am so impressed working there as I have and being on the doorstep since 1994. My respect for the people of Hillbrow grows daily.
And Reva, our respect for you grows daily, because Hillbrow, many of us are afraid to even venture into Hillbrow. What inspired you to transform Temple Israel into a heritage center? And what does the center do?
Exactly what you've just said. This awful perception, this perception based on years of fear and misinformation, the perception that Hillbrow is a no-go area. That is exactly what inspired me. Because I know, with a background of psychology and just really common sense, you know, and I know that your perception becomes your reality.
That's true.
Several years ago, our Eretz picked up our story, and there was a wonderful woman reporting here on something else, and she did come and visit me, and they had the headline, "The Synagogue Where No Jew Would Dare Go."
Oh, no.
And they showed photographs of us, and it's not heroic. It's just understanding humanity and the perceptions that become reality, because the less people will go there, the more the perception becomes a reality.
How does the center that you have set up, how does the archives that belong to the center contribute to preserving the history and evolution of progressive Judaism in South Africa?
I'm thrilled to tell you that we have an inquiry at least once a week, and we're talking about Jewish heritage here. When you say progressive, we are always dividing our nation into different streams. Yet in this era, all those streams are virtually, in a way, mixing up. I'll give you one example that we've had this week. In fact, I just quickly wrote it down to tell you. We had an inquiry from someone who is the grandson of a German immigrant here, who wanted to get his German citizenship. Now, we didn't know, you know, what stream he was, but they thought, let them try Temple Israel Hillbrow. So I get these calls, Paula, nearly every
incredible
week.
Incredible, incredible.
And to my astonishment, what they really needed was the actual admission papers. When this German immigrant fleeing the Holocaust, fleeing Nazi Germany, landed here, it was pre the Holocaust, and to find those admission papers, and Jacob Hurwitz, who worked with me at Temple Israel, we managed to find the actual citizenship admission papers from 1933.
So you've got papers dating back to the 30s. It is a miracle.
Well, I can't say we can help everyone, but Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. In this case, we were managed to help a young man, I presume, who wants his German or European visa or citizenship, and we managed to actually find it, which we thought was a miracle. So we were so pleased to be of service to the broader Jewish community.
Well, I know that the Hillbrow Shul dates back to 1936, and I wanted to ask you, Reva, what do you think Progressive Judaism uniquely brings to the table in a place like South Africa today?
All right. Now, in South Africa today, because we have grown up in a unique country who has the concept of Ubuntu in its very heart, Progressive Judaism brings the same Jewish value that I believe are inherent in nearly all streams of Judaism. When you take your heart of Judaism, it can only be one thing, and that is in the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. Now, with that word Echad, it means that all creation is one. All humanity is from one source, and that includes the animal and the natural world. And when you take the word Ubuntu, and of course I'm giving literal my own translation, there's much more precise translation, but one of the translations of Ubuntu is when I look in your eyes, I see myself. And to me, those two are unique in combination only in South Africa. Nowhere else in the world do we have a culture, which I have experienced particularly in Gauteng and Johannesburg, where people are sympathetic to differences. In fact, we must come into an era where we don't want to say, for example, Paula, as we used to listen, let's agree to disagree, because then you're building disagreement into the very future and conflict. We want to say, no, I welcome the difference and I respect it, and thank God there is a difference between us. But we have one thing in common, one creator and one world.
Reva, Africa Awake is an initiative supporting refugees and migrants in some of Johannesburg's most vulnerable communities. How did the partnership with Africa Awake come about, and what moved you to get involved with refugee support?
Well, first of all, you know, Africa Awake and all the incredible organizations fighting for immigrants and African nationals, if you look at the world today, Paula, not only in our country, but worldwide, there is this fear and criticism of the other, the immigrant. And there's this to-ing and fro-ing of banning them, getting rid of them or not. And this is really a tragedy. And the organization you mentioned and ourselves, the Temple Israel Heritage Center is dedicated to fighting all forms of hatred of the other. Now, that does not mean, as some people accuse us of turning away from people who are criminals. But if you look at criminality, it certainly isn't only in the African community. I hate to tell you, and forgive me saying this, but a year or so ago, they invested the head of the Israeli crime syndicate here. So criminality is irrespective of background or color or anything. But the vast majority of the other worldwide has created jobs, has brought wealth to countries. So practically, and most importantly, ethically, morally, we as Jews and as righteous humanity must support those who deserve justice.
Reva, do you ever face pushback for prioritizing outreach to non-Jewish communities? And if yes, how do you respond to it?
Yes. First of all, it is natural always to get that pushback. And I have experienced it, and I know other activist leaders like myself or rabbis have. We must first understand that the human mind is conditioned to think, I've got to protect myself first. So I never respond to it in an aggressive way. I do my best to A, explain that I understand why you think the way you do, and rather introduce any connection very, very slowly, or make a separate vehicle for it. As we have, there's temple which serves the wonderful Jewish community that still live in Hillbrow and very near us at the Vistera Hotel, with the incredible support of the Chevre Kedusha. And we made it safe. And I would prefer anyway that these projects we're talking about, which, by the way, Temple Israel Hillbrow and Beit Emmanuel, which is a shul in Parktown, we do every second Thursday of the month. There is food given out to the homeless in Peter Ruiz Park and also the jobless in Hillbrow. So I attempt to combine them, and yet at the same time, I would prefer that when it's actually working, perhaps legally, to open doors to protect those refugees or immigrants on our doorstep who are just people, I would prefer that to be separate under the Heritage Center. So both people sort of feel comfortable. In other words, let people do what they want to do when it's based on a good motive. But it's very difficult, and I've had to learn the hard way, to respect why they think the way they do.
Riva, you mentioned near the beginning of the interview that the Israeli publication Haaretz ran an article on the shul saying a shul where no Jews go. But I know from having been to the shul that there is a small community of Jews who do go to services regularly. Can you just give us a sense of the Jewish community that belongs to Temple Israel, of the Jews who still live in Hillbrow, and what the shul offers?
Well, first of all, I want to say Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Really, bless God, because that gives myself and Jacob Srona, the couple of management team, I have a purpose. Very near us is the Vistera Hotel, where there are more than 50 rooms paid for and kept by Chevre Kedusha, the wonderful Rabbi Jonathan Fox, and of course Saul. They do an incredible job. And these are people who do not wish to be or could be integrated in the Sandringham incredible organization, because they're the type of people with very difficult backgrounds or some terrible backgrounds, or people who maybe have strayed, and they cannot be told, you're going to have lunch at this time or that. So they prefer independence. And they have a beautiful little studio there with their own TV, their own room, their own kitchen. Yad Haron delivers parcels to them. And many of them, at least we have a million, do come on a Shabbat morning and are beginning to participate regularly. And Baruch Hashem, even more so if it's Rosh Hashanah or Pesach, we always have a Shabbat Shuva dinner. Now they've asked us, please, to change it from night to lunch. And firstly, I said, we can't do that. It's a vision. And I said, Foreman, stop it. You're doing what everyone's doing. I said, yes. And since we've changed the Pesach Seder to a lunch Seder, and the Shabbat Shuva dinner to a lunch, we're getting between 40 and 60 Jewish people who are coming back to their roots, who love Torah, who love listening, and who share with each other. And I'm so proud on our WhatsApp, they're even beginning to quote Torah to each other. So they're the most incredible people, and I'm in debt, really, to the Chevron, to just to our whole South African Jewish community as a whole. They're really extraordinary.
Riva, while I listen to you, I'm wondering, and this will be the question I want to ask you, is do you see any parallels between the Jewish experience and our Jewish history and what you see in Hillbrow today, and especially with the immigrant communities that you help?
Absolutely. They're one and the same. The first Jews in Hillbrow were immigrants. And Goldrush, a Jew himself, Hillbrow was a big farm area. It was open area. It is the very heart and the roots of Johannesburg, which now people don't realize the history. Goldrush, a Jew, bought the first three plots in a completely barren, you know, sort of farmland. And he sold them to Jews. And Hillbrow originally was filled with beautiful little houses. We're still looking for photographs, Paula, because it's so fascinating. And it was all Jewish people. And that is where, you know, that is where we started as immigrants.
Exactly.
And it's prophetic that it is still immigrants today. And it brings me back to the heart of Jewish Torah, and the word Torah means the law, L-A-W. We are one. Adonai Echad is to me the most beautiful explanation of humanity, and it is really part of the survival of our species.